things fail, Lord God, we celebrate your nation. We celebrate your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for these, your people. We ask you, Lord God, to accept the sacrifice of praise and worship, Lord God. May it be acceptable in your sight. May it be a sweet smelling aroma in your nostrils, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, even through the tests and trials and tribulations that we go through in this life, Lord God. We will put you first in all things. In Jesus' name.
Don't watch with your mouth closed.
Amen.
You get what I'm saying? Do not watch with your mouth closed, because one of the main things that we need to do is let people know not only that we are here, but that we have something to say. It's one thing to let people know that we're here. A lot of people know that we are here, but we also need to let people know that we have something to say, something to contribute to their lives. Also going on that particular day, as I said earlier, the annual toy giveaway hosted by South Seminole Community Association for Progress and the Seminole County Sheriff's Office in conjunction with Divine Truth Christian Center will be held here at DTCC. Once again, if you completed the application, hopefully all of those have been passed out, please sure to stop by and pick up the toys for your child on that specific day. Also, Saturday, December the 21st at 10 a.m., our outreach ministry will be feeding and distributing blankets to the homeless. First of all, put your hands together for all of the effort. If you look at all of the things that have been going on and all of the blankets that have been put into the both of the bins that are outside in the front, the nicely decorated bins, just make sure that I'm really appreciative of that. And we're going to go ahead and get out into the highways and byways. Sometimes, the very people that we need to bring to church are those that we are serving in those particular circles. If no one else is listening, come on, Divine Truth, hear me clearly. If no one else is listening, And to your petition, as far as come to the service with me, come hear about the Lord with me, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning, then my God, just go after the least of these. Go after the least of these. Go after those that make you feel a little bit uncomfortable to put inside of the car, because those are the very ones that God is opening up the ears and hearts at this moment in time. Amen? Amen. Also, on that particular day, I guess that mic turned off. It means that y'all can sit down now. Was that okay? That was you? Okay. All right. So also going along with that, once again, our outreach ministry will be feeding at that moment in time. We do a lot of great work in this particular community, and it will be the feedings will go on in the Paramore area of Orlando, Florida. Please meet here at DTCC if you are able to assist with the packing of the food. Do we have a time for that packing?
10 a.m.
Okay, so we're going to meet here at 10 a.m., and then after that, we're going to go out to Paramore. Okay, very good. Also, please meet here at that particular time. And if you need more information, please see Sister Latoya Lewis and Nikhila Hughes. Give another hand clap for them. They've been working tirelessly this particular year. And next year, I see bigger and better things moving forward, because we're going to assist them even further when it comes to manpower and helping things and getting things together. Also, if you haven't done so yet, you can still bring blankets and place them in the boxes in our lobby area. Make sure that you do that. And also make sure that you continue to spread the word about our daycare and the enrollments that are open even at this moment in time and going into the new year. I'm looking for some great things when it comes to our daycare. And also, finally, our family room is available in the other part of the facility inside of the conference room. Make sure that you take your children over there if they want to play, or if you just need to, if they're get active, I'll put it that way. All right? All right. We would also like to welcome our first-time guests to the sanctuary this morning. God bless you. God keep you. This is our prayer. We welcome you once again to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Amen. 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 Oh, yeah. Yesterday. I forgot that wasn't in here. On yesterday, do we have any photos? We do not. Okay, we do have photos. Oh, okay. Good. Great. That's great. Thank you so much. All right. And we're going to be talking about a couple of things this morning, but these are just some of the photos from yesterday during our annual Christmas party. We're going to keep this an annual thing going forward. All right. I don't think I've seen that much expression out of him in all of my life. Keep it going, brother. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. We want all of our leaders and our ministers and the like, we want people to know that you're approachable and that you have joy in your heart and in your face, because they don't want to come to you with their problems if they see that you mean on your faith, all right? Amen. That goes for everybody in our congregation. We want our people to be approachable, so thank God for that. Thank God for that. They put all those balloons on your head, brother, and things of that nature. We also had a visitor that came even from last night. He said that he took the bus. He walked and he took the bus all the way, several miles away, doesn't even have a car, because he saw the advertisement. And you just never know who will pop up in the presence as well. And so thank God for him. His name was Brian. He actually knew that word, too. I was surprised at him. You never know. He said, the building looks different on the outside than it does on the inside. I was like, that's just like God when it comes to us. The outer appearance is what people see, but it's the heart that matters. Amen. Amen. So thank God for that event. And once again, Sister Keely, she's not here. She may be up under the weather a little bit. But we just celebrate God for the efforts that have been made thus far this particular year. And we appreciate it, as always. Amen. Oh, we have another one, karaoke. Okay, so now I have to do a little bit of rebuking. This stuff is supposed to be in the announcements, because I cannot remember everything off the top of my head. We want people to know what we're doing, y'all. All this work that we be doing. Yes, karaoke. They sung badly to the top of their lungs. But I saw the clips. I saw a lot of the videos that were there. It was a wonderful and glorious time. And we just want you all to know that even though you may not always see Pastor and Lady Marnie at every single event, that does not mean that you all cannot attend. You know why? Because you know the word, you have love in your heart, you know how to reach out to people, and you know how to minister to others. Amen? Amen. And so we celebrate those things, and we also celebrate the good and fun times that are there. Sometimes people will come to an event first before they come to church. And I'll also talk about that. Sometimes people want to get to know you first before they go into the next step in regards to their spiritual life. So make sure that price-wise in the entire area, and one of the most beautiful ones in the entire area. And so we wanted to make sure that we keep it going forward. We've been here for 5 years, or going on 5 years, my goodness, since 2015. And so we want to continue to do that so that we can see all that God is going to do in this community and beyond. Amen. Amen. So we want to try to move against this, get away from this spiritual malaise, this lackadaisicalness, this apathy that's going on everywhere around the entire globe, but especially in the United States. And we're just going to keep on pressing until God does his big thing that's going to allow for the people of God to rush to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So don't forget why you give. You give basically because you love God. You give because he is blessing you and he wants you to serve his people. You also give because you should be faithful to the ministry that you're a part of, as well as an act of service and many other reasons. So don't forget the reason why you give. When we do things inside of the Snack Shack, those cost finances. When we serve one another, those cost finances. When it comes to the blankets, those cost finances and the like. And even when it comes to our daycare, those things cost finances. We have a daycare, you all, but right now it's an expense. Those things cost money, and so we have to continue to sustain things until people start waking up and being like, you know what, this church is more than just relevant. This church is more than just being here. It's something that is a part of my life. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for these, your people. We thank you, Lord God, for the loyalty of the members that are a part of this congregation, both in the sanctuary as well as those that will watch this service at a later time online. Encourage them now, Heavenly Father. I praise your name for their faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Be blessed, people of God.
Darkness is around me, and I may not be able to see. God is the light that shines bright. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, singers. Amen. Lord, we need you to manifest. Amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 through 27. After getting a little bit of feedback with a couple of individuals over the last couple of days, I believe that it's training time for our ministry so that we can reach out to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 through 27 goes as follows, and it says, "As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need for you.'" Let me translate this or break this down. The worship department cannot say to the ministry department or the ministers, "I have no need for you." The ministers cannot talk to the multimedia booth and say that you are irrelevant. The daycare workers cannot speak to those that are musicians and say it doesn't matter. And the pastor cannot say to everyone that "I don't need you." So on the contrary, in verse 22, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. There's a great revelation in that, but I want to more so keep things simple even for this morning. Verse 24, "Which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another." For one another. "If one member suffers," here it is, "all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Come on, read along with me, everyone. Verse 27. "And now, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Amen. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. The title of this morning's message, which will begin a series that will go on for as long as God says, Being the Church, Part 1. Being the Church. Subtitle, The Origins of the Church. The term church is a kind of an innocuous term. It means a couple of things. Most of the time when people think of church, it is a place that you go to. But in truth, it actually means in the Greek, ekklesia, or the called out ones. It is used throughout the New Testament to represent a new community or existing community of believers in Jesus Christ that together with Israel and believing Gentiles of the Old Testament forms the people of God. The term is used for both a local community of believers like all those of us here in the city of Castleberry, right adjacent to Altamont Springs, and for also all believers around the world. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in God. We believe in the statutes and principles of the scriptures. We believe that the scriptures is the highest authority, that upon it and against it, all things are just a matter of opinion. We also believe that the body of Christ is worldwide. That means that I could go anywhere around the world, and if somebody is saved, then they are my brother and or sister in Christ. There's also numerous metaphors and symbolic meanings of the church, with most people knowing it as, and I quote, "the body of Christ," not the church of God in Christ, not divine truth, the body of Christ. In this picture, as well as many other places in New Testament teaching, the emphasis is on the spiritual union of the members of the church with Christ, the Lord of the church, and with each other. That's the key piece. With God and with each other. This is the reason why Jesus gave emphasis in his two greatest commandments, that you love God and love people. Or you love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's where you get the term, or we get the term, love God, love people. So today we will begin our series on, quote, and I quote, being the church, and why understanding who we are, why our existence is vital to each other, not only in this particular community, but also beyond. So let me start with Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The birth of the church, if you will. The birth of the church. And it says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with, watch this, one accord in one place. You saw what I did there? In one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, the one being the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The key piece in all of this is that they were all on one accord. One of the things that we have to do, even as a body of believers, as large, even here at Divine Truth, is that we have to stop the language of you all and move from you all to us and we. You all had a great event last night. You get what I'm saying? You all did so much work out there in Wynwood Park. You all look great on out there singing karaoke. I wish I would have made it. Versus, man, we really did a great job. We really reached out and fed the hungry and clothed the naked. We did an excellent job gathering all these blankets together. We feel connected because we prayed for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. So the first thing that needs to be eliminated, if you are part of the body of Christ for this local assembly, is removed from your vocabulary, you all, when you refer to things. Because that already denotes a form of division. It's supposed to be we. It's training here. It has to be the simple things. So the birth of the church was one that was given by a sound or a call, if you will, from heaven. And then upon that particular call, then there's things that were stirring up in the atmosphere, and then the people in unison from all different walks of life begin to march to the glory of God. So a church cannot be a church unless they are unified and unless they are being led by the Spirit. If the church is not unified and they are not led by the Spirit, then the church will not last. Then we have the mission of the church. The mission of the church is also found in Scripture, and it comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 21. And I'm going to see if you also recognize the Scripture, because this Scripture is one of the bedrock foundations of our ministry. And this is actually Peter talking here as he's giving his sermon, which was actually spoken after these events dealing with the coming of the Holy Spirit, or the day of Pentecost, if you will. Peter's talking with everyone, and he starts off this particular sermonette, if you will, because there were people who were actually in the midst of the individuals that were on one accord and said, you guys ain't really of the don't really have God with you. You really don't have the Holy Spirit. In other words, there was somebody that was mocking from the crowd saying, you guys, y'all people of Divine Truth, y'all ain't really saved. You ain't really all that. Y'all just got a few people over there. God ain't with you. But let me remind you the truth of the matter. In verse 16, it says, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Think about this. And the prophet Joel that he's talking about is Joel 2, verse 28. In the Old Testament, this is the one that he's referring to. Notice this verse of verse 17. It says, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Declare the good news. Speak what thus saith the Lord. Even if it hurts feelings. Even if it brings encouragement. Whether it's in season or out of season. And your young men shall see visions. They'll be able to connect in with the man of God that is leading over the people, and the woman of God over the people. And your old men shall dream dreams. In other words, we want to celebrate those that are among us that have been walking with God for a long period of time. But they also could speak into our lives because they have seen these things before. And they can give us guidance. So in other words, this is a multi-generational type of call. This is a multi-generational type of prophecy that is still declared even to this day. Verse 18 takes it a little bit deeper. It says, even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy or declare what God has said. You saw just several weeks ago that I laid hands on three women in this ministry and declared that they had a prophetic gift, which was what God had already implanted in them. But it was a public declaration before everyone that they have all the rights and privileges to come and suffer with me to a higher level. It is important for us to understand that when we see the scripture, that it's not anything to play with, and that we have souls that are at stake, and there's many lives that are hanging in the balance. So God said through his prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit, and they will declare what the word of the Lord says. Not only that, verse 19 says, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. Suffice to say, if I wanted to tell everyone what is the primary thing that will get people to come into church, it will be blood and fire and vapor of smoke. That is the time that we're in today. We have a lot of people who believe that being nice means being godly and have a relationship with God, but it does not. We believe we're living in a time where people see the house of the Lord as being optional. We're living in a time when good churches do not get support. Oh, what a terrible day it is. But there's still hope, because as long as God is on the throne, yes, and as long as we are holding on, we will be able to move forward. And then finally, verse 21, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the mission of the church. Men and women, we are to declare what God said. When you declare what God said, you leave your opinion out of it. When you bring your opinion into it, you get in all types of weeds that you have no business. You know, in the weeds, you can get stung really bad. You say what God says. And if the person that you're speaking to does not understand your translation of what God says, you spring out the Bible and you say, this is what the word says about this, and then let them wrestle with the text. That's the mission of the church. I'm not going to be before you long, because right now I actually want to show you about the first congregation. Now, there's actually two congregations here. The first congregation physically was the children of Israel that was born and birthed out and was washed with salt as the Lord passed by them in the spirit and chose them. They were being choked by their own afterbirth. But he looked at them and he says, I was called to love you. You, a nomadic people, you who are dispersed and scattered. Even today, many people cannot even trace who the Hebrews actually were, but yet God chose them unto himself. The people of God of the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, they're called a congregation. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, we've been talking about this even in our Bible study over the last couple of weeks. And it says in verse 1, now in those days, the number of the disciples was multiplying. There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. These were the intellectuals, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. In other words, folk got mad because the church, from their eyes, was not doing what they were supposed to be doing. In other words, people were multiplying in number, but not multiplying in their efforts in the community. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. What does this mean? What is this business? This is the day-to-day interactions of the church. This is a matter of Brother and Sister Lewis coming 9 a.m. Yesterday to bring the bicycles so that we can give to the family. The business means being an usher or being someone that's attending to the kids, or if there is a disturbance that's outside in the parking lot that the men, quote unquote, are supposed to go out there and attend to what the issue may be for our safety. The business is making sure that people, when they give, that they give properly. The business is letting individuals know that we're hiring. The business is letting people know that, hey, the sanctuary needs to be cleaned up, or they also needs to finish our decoration. That's the reason why I put those two boxes right over there, because we need to finish decorating. That is the business of the church, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. When visitors come on a bus and walk from one block all the way here, that we are to accommodate them and treat them like a king or a queen, even though they may be dressed in rags and unkempt. That is the business. But the apostle said that we, or the leaders, don't have time to do all of that and this. We either have to do one or the other, because guess what? If I'm sweeping, that means that I'm not giving the word. That does not mean that I'm above sweeping. It just means that I did it already. You just didn't see it. And so for me personally, as a pastor of this particular place, my job is to stay into the word and to study so that I could give an answer to those people as they come into the house of the Lord, and train them so they can also get souls, so they can also be brought into the house of the Lord. Because what are we trying to do? We're trying to let people not live their best lives only. We're training people so they could be disciples of Jesus Christ. Coming to church is not get out of hell insurance only, or fear of judgment only. It's to be a brother or sister in Christ. The verse goes on to say in verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you, repeating, 7 men of good reputation, like an Al or a Michael Jordan or others that are coming in the future, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this, what, business, like a Dewan or like a sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. But we will give to ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. My goal for 2020 is to pray more. That's my goal. I have other little sub-goals, but my goal is to increase my prayer life exponentially, because there's a lot that you all don't see that is out of my control that I need God to answer. Prayer. Pray for me, and I surely will pray for you. Verse 5 also says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. In other words, people were happy because the leaders, the 12 apostles, basically told them, like I'm telling you this morning, hey, there's a separation of duties here. And it happened even last night. It was an example of it last night. Last night, we had people who are assigned their specific places. Lady Martin and I came and things were in order. We had to do a couple of things here and there. The media had to be lightened up and the rooms had to be lightened up. Some things had to be put in order. But for the most part, things were in order as they should be. So we came here and we sat, and then I was able to do what? Minister to one person, that visitor that came. And I sat with him for quite a while. Not only just for a security purpose, because that's part of it, but also to see if this is a soul that is in need, as well as other people who are visitors. I can't talk to someone about the word of God if I don't know the word myself. That means I have to study a lot, because people have all types of questions. Not only that, I caught one other particular person that was going out to the parking lot. It kind of went out to the parking lot like Batman, but I caught him. And I was able to speak into his life, and he began to pour certain things out, certain private things to me, even at that moment in time. And I was able to give answers because I was able to spend time in the word versus trying to find out where the balloons were at. You get that? Because we come up, some of us have come up under the model that the pastor is slaving and working. That means he's showing up as a preacher. But no, that's not the case. I'm a slave or a bondservant to Jesus Christ, not to the congregation. You understand the distinction? Very important for any person who wants to serve. You must be the servant of all. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. In other words, the church folk, they were happy. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, as the leader. And also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, not Timon and Pumbaa, y'all. Parmenas, and Nicholas, not Saint Nick, y'all. And proselyte from Antioch. Now, Nicholas might have been, had a little bit of trouble because he was a proselyte. And the proselyte, they kind of on the fence a little bit, but yet and still, he was brought in for a reason. Verse 6 says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then, watch this, the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. This lets us know that there was, the congregation grew, churches began to flourish, and there were priests or preachers that were obedient to the faith. You see the ingredients there? The word of God spread. Then the disciples grew. So the word of God, congregation, needs to spread. Then disciples will grow. Then people will come to church. People won't just come to church just because you invite them. People will come to church because the word of God has spread out. That is the proper order. So as I come around the mountain here, from the first century church until now, there have been several manifestations of the body of Christ, inclusive of doctrine. We've learned that here. Scholarship. I've tried to press myself and my other sub-goal to prayer as I'm praying that I graduate next semester with my doctorate in theology. Keeping records, recording what's going on. Currently, by photos of all of the exploits that we have done as a ministry and our year in review, Elder Winslow makes sure you remind of that so that we can see all that we have done this particular year. We don't need 1,000 photos, though, just the main ones. This is a part of the church. Working through disagreements, that's a part of the church. Churches have gone through splits and gotten back together. It's part of the church. Persecution. I know many of you all kind of felt me this morning when I said that I was in agony. And you're looking even in my eyes right now and be like, man, is he going to stop? No, I'm not going to stop, but I sure feel like it. That's the truth. It's a lot of things that are actually going on right now. And one of the things that we're also struggling with as the body of Christ is adaptation in modern times, when people would rather stream a service than be a part of a body of Christ. Now, we're not talking about individuals that can't be there. We're talking about individuals who can but choose not to. I actually had a conversation with a person last night about that, and this particular person was telling me about their favorite, quote unquote, preacher on television. But when I asked them, do they have a home church, they said no. That's not really a part of their journey at this moment in time. There's a lot of people that are out there just like that. That's the reason why we need to say the word of God boldly and use the word of God boldly and then leave the results up to God. This is part of the church. This is the mission. This is what the first congregation dealt with. There will be times of persecution. There will be times when the seats will be filled like they were in the beginning of the year and part of the summer to the anemic pace that it is right now. And sometimes for no earthly reason. Sometimes there is just no reason why people do not come to church. It just happens. But for those of you that are here, I want to let you know that you are the church. And if we don't make it, then it is our fault, not mine. You get what I'm saying? You see how I did that there? It is not Pastor Martin His church didn't do good. No, it is divine truth. It is our church. And if we don't do what we are supposed to, then it is us as together, as a corporation, as a corporate body, we are not doing what God has said to do. So the onus is on us to let people know. And I'm going to teach you how. So what is this church business as I close? Well, I've given you the background, the birthing point, the declaration prophetically, the bedrock of this church, Joel 2:28. We talked about how as a congregation, the congregation grew because of the spread of the word of God, not the spread of gossip and foolishness and ratchetness. Ratchetness doesn't grow a church. Well, it can grow a group of people, but the church will eventually split and eat itself. Even as you see, even today, there's churches, and I posted an article inside of the DTCC family about a specific church in North Carolina. And I even remember one person who used to go here, used to tout this particular place up so much so. And now that same particular place is going through hell right now, a division, because the people are not together internally. And I'm not even looking at the dollar amount. That's not the issue. What I usually look at when I see all of this stuff is that I look at the core of the reason why there is so much tumultuousness. There's agony when you're doing right. Even when my dad was here a couple of weeks ago, he said, son, you know, the Church of Philadelphia, they were small, they were powerful, but they sure went through a lot. So the struggle is just a part of you guys' identity. A struggling church. So for the very visitors that are here for the very first time, we're struggling. But not because we're not following God. We're struggling because we are following God. That's the reason why we're struggling. I felt that. We're struggling because we are following God. I got to make sure I don't get choked up, because I think that was one of those little boxes on that video, on that thing, that the pastor chokes up like right in the middle of the verse. You got to choke up at least two times. I ain't going to do that. But I felt that. We're struggling because we are following God. But the struggle is not to be perpetual. We struggle with ourselves and with our flesh. But we should not struggle when it comes to giving, when it comes to serving and loving the least of these. If a person comes in that is homeless from the outside of those doors, the first thing that we should do is rush to treat them like a king or a queen. Give them the chief seats. Make them feel so special until it can possibly transform their life together. That is actually church business, not a meeting on 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning that you don't want to really show up to because your kids got stuff that they got to do. So let me also give you some insight. You can go ahead and play that. Because this is just going to be a first in a series, and we're going to spend, and I'm going to spend the first quarter of next year training you all. So just a preview of coming attractions. Sunday mornings are going to sound like what I would call Bible study. Because I want to train you. Because this is actually a discipleship training center, if you will. So let me give you some insight. First of all, in years past, and many of you all may know this, especially when if you came up in the 80s or 90s, even in the 70s or whatnot, when you grew up in church, went to church and your parents, you couldn't even get a seat. You were fighting on over who could sit on the edge of the pew. And you had to step over somebody. And if it usually is a mother inside of the church, and you know, she'd look at you and you would say, could you please scoot over? She'd be like, act like she didn't even hear you. But she'd put like two peppermints in your hand and just scoot her legs to the side, and you just went on down. That was it. That was the area that many of us went into. That was the area of church that we're accustomed to. Everybody was there. Saint and sinner alike, hearing the preacher holler to the rooftops, getting pinched by mothers, held from going to the bathroom 2,500 times by the deacons and the ushers. That's what we remember. We remember the hymns, remember lifting up the name of Jesus, And nowadays, even when it comes to our worship team, we put so much pressure on them to come up with something new that no one doesn't even know. All because we live in an a la carte society. So in years past, watch this. Bringing people to church was as easy as 1, 2, 3. Prior to the economic bust in the early 2000s, Sister Jasmine, if you invited some people where you work to church, they'd be like, yeah, I'm coming. You got some room for me? It would be just as simple, just like that. But now, it almost has seemed that the only people who want to come to church is the individuals who are so down and out. So far gone. So desperate. Until they have no other choice. But that's not what God wants. It was as easy as 1, 2, 3. What do you mean, preacher? Well, this is what I mean. A member invites a friend to church. The person comes to church. The preacher closes the deal. Now, how many of you all believe that that's kind of still the model today? That's what many of us believe. You invite somebody to church. The person comes to church. Then the preacher closes the deal. I didn't know I was a deal closer. I didn't know that you judge whether or not if you come in the back based on what I say. But honestly, that is kind of like how it is, you know. And that's how it was with Jesus. People come to Jesus just to see who he was. The disciples brought folk to him, and he closed the deal. But the funny thing about that is that while some followed him, by the time his industry came to a close, everybody left him. That's also part of the deal. But now things have become much harder. And the advent of apostasy, apathy, take it or leave it, and technology have really gotten people into a spiritual stupor. However, this is not new. And over the several weeks that are to come, I will train and teach once again each of you how to be the church like never before and to evangelize effectively. So as I close, come on, stand to your feet. This is what we're going to be talking about over the months and weeks to come. So as God gives me strength, we're going to talk about a couple of things. Number one, we're going to talk about how to speak peace to someone. When somebody sees you for the very first time, one of your relatives or somebody who doesn't really go to church, just be their peace. Be their peace and comfort in the time of a storm. And I'm going to show you how to do that properly. The next part is the fellowship. We're going to try to increase our events without busting the budget next year to give everyone opportunities so somebody can get to know you. If we don't know you, then it's going to be hard to serve you. And we also have to be accommodating to other individuals. Our circles of influence shouldn't just stop when it comes to the things of God. We should also be saved even among people who are not saved that we are friends with and have some influence over them too as well. I'm also going to teach you about how to meet felt needs. Usually I would go through all these things very quickly, but I'm going to show you how sometimes it's easier for a person to talk to you when they are not hungry. A person can talk to you a little bit easier when their marriage gets some sound advice. Or whether you're giving them a ride to church. Or you give them some level of encouragement. Help them fill out a job application. That's a felt need economically. What you're doing is that you're pulling the thorns and thickets from out of their mind so they could truly focus on God, because it's a lot of these distractions today. We're living in a time where there's 3.5% unemployment. You could fall out of bed and get a job tomorrow and people are still unhappy. And then finally, share your testimony and the gospel. How many of you remember when you got saved? Do you remember? If you don't remember, then we got a problem. You know your birthday, don't you? This is my birthday month. This is my birthday. 57 years old. This is my birthday. You never forget your birthday. in the natural, but in the spirit, it seems like it's a mystery. I remember my birthday in the spirit. I was 26 years old. I aged from the age of 20 to the age of 25 and a half. I aged probably about 30 years within that 6-year span of time. Went through so many things until it was just ridiculous. Backbiting, whoremongering, on my way to hell. Cussing, fussing, smoking, drinking, fighting a lot. And I was in college. Getting ready to flunk out. Depressed because I couldn't get on the football team because my grades weren't high enough to even join the football team. And I was just acting like I was out of my mind. My parents brought me to church, but as soon as I went to college, I was like, this would be the last time I ever set foot in the church. And for 6 years, I only went to church about 3 or 4 times. And some of those times were just because somebody asked me out of community service. The other times I didn't want to go, and I did not. I got into cults, got into a lot of different types of organizations, became a Mason in one of the higher orders, was on my way to becoming a Templar and a Shriner, but God. I started getting tattoos about things of Africa and Egyptology on my body. And I did not think that Jesus was the way to God. I thought he was one of the ways. So I was an agnostic. My mother and father were in agony because I would come home with all of this Masonic jewelry on, and I was trying to teach them things that I had quote unquote learned, and that they were actually the blind ones. My whole family was in an uproar, but God. I started reading books about the New Wapians and other different types of groups and other types of black cults. And I started going deeper and deeper until I started considering that there was even aliens out there. But God. And even in the midst of a drunken stupor, in the midst of being high, and I'm almost done, God allowed for me to meet a deliverer in the midst of sin, which is my wife. I was in the middle of the club going through a breakup like you never could even imagine. I had 2 hands full of Hennessy and Coke, or rum and Coke, and I was dancing the night away, and our eyes caught, and the rest was history, and she introduced me to her family. Went to that conference that one time. Got on the stage just like this. They asked me to sing because I could sing, even though I wasn't saved. And I start singing the song, "Tis So Sweet," by Commission. Got off the stage, and then all of a sudden, before I got to my seat, something hit me like a 3D surround sound system, 5.1, echoes from all over the place. It just hit me, just reverberated all throughout my body, and I was brought down to my knees in tears. And I had a good job, too. Things were going great. I was still listening to cussing music. I just sung because they asked me. But something hit me. And I still remember falling to my knees in tears and saying, "God, I give up. I give my life to you." And 18 years later, here I am. I remember my birthday. So people of God, when you're inviting somebody to church, start with your story. Give a testimony. That's my testimony of how God saved me. And I point to Jesus. If you don't have a testimony, then it's going to be hard to bring people of this day and time to church. Let them know how God saved you and how he changed your life. If you don't know your birth date, then we got another issue altogether. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you and we bless your holy name. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for your favor. We thank you, Lord God, for touching us and reaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and take your seats for a moment. I got to address this because it's necessary. And Brother Penn, you can go ahead and thank you. So I said I wasn't going to beg, and I'm not. But you also need to know that while I was talking about all the things that we're trying to do in this community, I have to be transparent because this is becoming a burden and it doesn't need to be, especially with all of the brilliant people that we have in this congregation. So there was a lot of individuals that did give online. I saw a couple of things this morning. So that number may be about $200 more. But as of right now, because we family, right? You know how it is when we family? You need to find out what's going on. Our giving today was $459.